get started this morning. Give you a little behind schedule today. Try to make up ground as much as we can. Good to see each of you here today. I want to say a special welcome to the Renos. It's been quite some time since we've seen them. We're glad you're here to be with us today. Be singing two songs this morning, and hopefully everybody got a copy of the songs. Let's stand, please, as we sing. We're going to sing the Heaven Medley first.
Thank you.
blessing to you. It's been a little while since we've done that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you that the Renos could be with us today. We want to pray for our pastor and his family as they are traveling. We want to pray especially for his father and the deterioration that he has experienced recently. And we pray that you would just comfort and strengthen the family at this time. We pray that you would encourage and strengthen them. Pray that you would use Brother Mark as he teaches and preaches the word today, and Brother Jason here in a few moments, that you would use each of them to strengthen us, encourage us, and instruct us from your word. We pray that your will be accomplished in our hearts and lives today. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're not going to do any announcements this morning. We're going to go right into I'll Fly Away.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of
Spirit is Spirit. All right, I'll stop there. Okay, trust that these verses are a blessing to you. You'll have to forgive me. I forgot to check the calendar and see if there were any birthdays this week. There weren't. Okay. That way we're going there. All right. At this time, the children's classes can be dismissed. And then following that, Jason, we'll turn it over to you.
Amen.
As I clear the microphone.
Well, good morning. Turn in your Bible, James chapter 4. We're going to go to James chapter 4. Pastor asked me to bring a Sunday school lesson this week, and I wanted to say no. But interestingly enough, about 2 weeks before he asked me, there were a number of thoughts that the Lord had going through my mind and had laid on my heart. And I was specifically thinking, if I ever had to get up and say something, this would be what it is. And so I already knew that I was running from what he wanted me to do. And when the pastor asked me, I couldn't say no. I went up to him after the service and said, yeah, if that's what you'd like, I'll bring a little message here. But I'm no preacher, so I'm a piano player, and if no one's listening, a singer. So this is new to me. So you'll have to forgive me. If I wrote something down here and I say, I don't know why I wrote that down. All right, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 8 we're going to look at here. Believe me, I'm going to be stepping on my own toes with this one. Because God was stepping on my toes a few weeks ago when he laid this on my heart. And a lot of it came from the tent meetings. Those tent meetings over at First Baptist. Brother Matt Renzi was there and he about flattened my toes. Which he tends to do, so... James chapter 4, let's start here. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is one of my favorite verses, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let's go to the word, this is the Lord, with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. We thank you for these words from your word. And some stepping on toes, but then the last verse here culminates with reassurance and drawing us closer to yourself. And Lord, I thank you for that drawing. Sometimes we can get so far away from you, but you're always looking to draw us back to yourself. And so we thank you for that. We just pray that you would put the words in my mouth that you want said this morning, and let this not be of me. And help my thoughts to be clear as to what you'd have to be said, and that it would be a blessing to those that hear it, and a help. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm probably not going to say anything that you don't already know or haven't already heard, but I know I've heard these verses a thousand times, but they're what we need every day. There's a war going on inside each Christian. There's a war. It's a war of lust inside the Christian. It says right here, from whence come wars and fightings among you. And you got to remember, James wrote this book not to a specific church. A lot of the epistles were written to a specific church, but James was written to the Israelites. It was written to the 12 tribes. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So it was to his people, the Israelites. And he was kind of chiding them here admonishing them, hey, there's a war going on inside you, and it's a war of lust. Really, every sin that we commit is because of lust. And there's two types of lust here that came to mind. The first one that we'll look at is the lust of the flesh. This is the one we all know about. Lust of the flesh, we all deal with this every day, almost every minute of every day. And a lot of times when we think of the word lust, we think of it in the realm of the sexual part of the lust. And but really, it's in everything that we do wrong. We're following what we want as opposed to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. Verse 1 and 2 talks about the wars and fightings amongst our own selves, and that's it isn't written here from a standpoint of members in the church, but it could apply to that. We end up bickering and arguing amongst each other in church, and it's because, well, I want my way, and he wants his way, and we just can't get along. Ye lust and have not, it says in verse 2. Ye kill and desire to have. Well, I hope that's not happening here, but we can be trying to knock each other down so much to the point where it's almost like killing your brother. Verses 3 and 4 then says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. And then when you finally do ask, he's saying, you're asking based on your own lust. It's what you want, and not what the Holy Spirit wants for you. All of this leads to emptiness and want in our lives if we follow our lusts. And then there's a good kind of lust here. If we go down to verse 5, it says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Well, this is a good kind of lust. The spirit that lives inside you, wants all of you to yield to him. And he's jealous of that, almost the same way that a husband would be jealous of somebody looking at his wife, or vice versa. And the Holy Spirit wants all of you. And Nahum chapter 1, verse 2, I'll turn there real quick. You don't have to turn there. Maybe I'll turn there quick. It talks about God's jealousy. And basically just says God is a jealous God. He's jealous of his people, the Israelites. I won't turn there. I didn't find it. There's a righteous envy going on inside us. The Holy Spirit wants all of us, and he's envious when we follow our lusts. Now, if we go down to verse 7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, where do these lusts come from? Well, it's the devil. The conflict inside every believer is to follow the Lord. We'll go this way because this is my right hand and the Lord is right. Or we're going to follow the devil. And that's kind of what the comparison these thoughts that the Lord brought to my mind is a comparison of following the Lord, following the leading of the Holy Spirit versus following our lusts and following the devil. Let's turn over. We'll all do this. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 13, we want to look at. You probably know these. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul here in Ephesians is saying, it's not a war that we fight against brother and sister. It's not a war that we fight against human flesh. When Caleb and I play basketball, we a lot of times we end up at the park and we're playing one-on-one. I can see him, he can see me. He knows his opponent, I know my opponent. Who's the better opponent? Well, that's this discussion. it's a war. This isn't a war against something you can see. This is a war against the devil and his angels and his realm. You can't see this. So it can be very deceptive. The war against evil and the devil and his demons. Simply put, it's a war of Jesus versus the devil. What does my flesh want? What does the Spirit want? I thought of this illustration, a story about something that happened that kind of really is an example of what Paul's talking about here and what James is talking about. I took my kids to a carnival in Hellertown a couple of weeks ago, and they didn't know that that's where we were going. Caleb figured it out, but Lydia had no idea. So all she saw was the playground. We come walking down towards the playground. There's a big playground, and there were no kids on this playground. And so that's the first thing she looks for when we get there is, well, who am I going to get to play with? And there was nobody. So it was kind of like, there's nobody here, Dad. Big green pasture up there. a lot of grass. It was beautiful, beautiful park. And it was obviously quiet. There was nobody up there. So we rounded the corner, and all we see is the back of some trailers. We can't see what I know. There's a carnival going on, and we don't see this yet. So we come walking up, and we get up to the last trailer, and we turn the corner, and then all of a sudden, her eyes light up, and his eyes light up, because here's all the fanfare going on at this carnival. Lights and rides and games and food, and we all know how much we love those things. Well, we bought some tickets. We went on some rides. We bought some food. But then we ran out of tickets. But the rides were still going, but we couldn't go on them because we'd already spent the money on tickets. And, you know, we tried one of those basketball games where you shoot the basketball, and if you make it, you get a big prize. Well, he took two shots, and I took two shots, and guess how many went in? Zero. So he said, can we try it again? I said, no, we're not trying it again. It costs money to try it again. So then we got some food. We got pizza and a cheesesteak or something like that. And they were okay, but it wasn't that great. And we ended up leaving empty-handed. We left with nothing. The rides were over. It was fun for a moment. But the illustration, you get where I'm going. The illustration is we follow our lust. We follow the flesh. It'll leave us empty every time. What we should have done, and I wish I could have told you, we went to the upper part of the park where it was nice and quiet and had good family time. Well, we didn't do that. But the quiet part of the park is where God wants us to be in our lives. How does he speak to us? In a still, small voice. He speaks and says, you remember Elijah? We have time. Let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. This is an interesting story that the Lord included in Scripture. And it's interesting that it comes right after a great victory by the prophet Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 11. You remember what happened? You all know the story really well. The prophets of Baal that tried to call fire down from heaven, and Elijah stood over and basically mocked them all day until finally he said, all right, gather around. And a great victory was won for the cause of the Lord. But somebody wasn't happy. Jezebel wasn't happy. The devil wasn't happy. And so she was on the rampage to take Elijah's life. And he fled into the wilderness and basically began complaining to the Lord that, you know, God, you brought me out here to die. I'm the only one that stood up for you. And the Lord had to correct Elijah and say, no, you are not the only one. If we go to verse 11, chapter 19, verse 11. And he said, this is God, I have been very jealous for the Lord God. Or no, this is Elijah. Oh, no, that's 11. Verse 11, here we go. And he said, go forth. God is saying this to Elijah. Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And if you notice in your Bible, that's italicized, the word but. So, which means that in the Hebrew, it just says, the Lord, not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. What did he do? He got away from all the noise, everything that was going on. God wasn't there. And he went back into the quiet of the cave where he could get alone with God and get his heart right. How does God lead us? That's how he speaks to us in a still small voice. How does he lead us? Does he lead us into the carnival of life? No. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. The stillness is where we hear the voice of the Lord. So we come back to the two powers struggling for the Christian's mind, soul, and body is the devil and the Lord Jesus, drawing each of us. And these are some of the thoughts that I had that were going through my mind the last several weeks. Almost a comparison of good and evil. So we'll go with the first one here is living water versus, remember a couple of weeks ago? Well, I think it was actually just last week. Pastor Welton took the water over here and poured it in his fingers. And some of you went, no, I don't pour the water on the floor. But he did. He poured the water through his fingers because it was an example of seeking after the pleasures of this world, and they don't satisfy your thirst. It slips right through the fingers onto the floor, and eventually you're going to be thirsty again. But the living water, you'll never thirst again. Jesus had that woman at the well and said, you drink of the water that I can give you, you'll never thirst again. The devil leaves us thirsty and unsatisfied every time. Another thought here is Jesus wants to draw us near to himself. The devil's also drawing. We got to remember that we're being drawn both directions. The devil's drawing us. But does the devil draw us to himself? No, he's not drawing you to himself. He's drawing you away, and then he's going to leave you with nothing. Jesus is drawing you, but he isn't going to leave you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He wants to draw you to himself where you can have peace and safety. Jesus will give you comfort. He'll dry your tears. Satan ever dried your tears? He'll give you tears. He'll strengthen you. And you know what Jesus will do for you? When you can't go another step further, he'll pick you up and carry you. Think the devil ever pick you up and carry you? No. I don't have this written here to say, but when my wife passed away, the first couple of days were so dark for me. I really felt like, and those of you who've lost a spouse know what I'm talking about. Being a believer, I thought this shouldn't be this hard. How come this is weighing so heavily on me? And I thought, man, if I didn't have the Lord, if I didn't know the Lord, and I couldn't cry out to him, where would I be? What would I turn to? It's no wonder people turn to drugs and alcohol, and some of them even take their own lives. And it wasn't until, you know, I could really tell when everybody started to get the news, and I knew you were praying for me. You said you were praying for me, and I could feel that calming of the Holy Spirit come over me. She passed away Wednesday night, and Thursday was rough, and Friday morning was rough. But by Friday evening, I started to. Almost like David said when he lost the first child because of the sin with Bathsheba. And he said he washed his face and cleaned himself up, got up off his knees. It's really how I felt on that Friday night. And things got better each day. A little bit more of the load was lifted. But man, the devil isn't going to give you that kind of comfort. And if that's all you have to cling to because you don't know the Lord, well, you're going to have a life of heartache. He'll leave you empty, broken, hopeless, fearful, and in the end, alone. The next thought I had written down here comes from Psalm 34, verse 8. That says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." The Lord wants us to taste of His good ways. What does the devil have for us to taste? If you've watched a ball game or a race or anything on TV, the devil has told you, taste the Rockies. You heard that one before, right? Beer. Well, that's not going to give you... That might give you a good time for a few minutes, for a few hours, but eventually you're going to wake up in the morning and there's going to be regrets. There's going to be regrets. The devil shows... The pastor was talking about this just last week as well. The devil shows you the good time at the ball game with friends and, you know, good-looking guys and pretty women. But the end of it doesn't... That's not the end of it. The end of it, you don't want to see. Wednesday, I was up in Boston, and I had to deliver to the Greater Food Bank of Boston, or the Greater Boston Food Bank. And it is right downtown in the industrial district. So there's not a lot of houses down there, but there's all kind of industry going on. And it has become Tent City. There are tents all down the street, and there's literally hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that are living on these streets, and every single one of them is out of their mind because it's a safe zone. The city has declared this a safe zone for drugs. And so you can get a clean needle from the paramedics that sit on the street corners. Each one of these corners, there are paramedics and police, and all their job is to do is to make sure that people don't kill themselves with dirty needles. It's insane. It's insane. And this goes on in Philadelphia, too. Kensington Avenue down in Philly, Kensington, it's the worst area of Philadelphia. And you'll see people standing there on the street corners like this. They defy gravity. I don't know how they stand up. It's really unbelievable. People be bent over like this. Just bent over. And they're out of their minds. They're sleepwalking. It breaks your heart. that has such a grip on it. And you say, oh, well, you know, a little bit. Well, every one of them started with a little bit. Everyone started with something that they didn't think would hurt them. And now they're here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Another thought that I had. Now this one's going to stomp on my own toes. Because I just did this to Brother Glenn this morning. We should be talking about Jesus and what he's done for us. Rather than talking like the devil. When it comes to things like joking, jesting, foolishness. Me too, brother. I love joking around. I know none of you knew that. And I know this might surprise you. I have said things that have caused me to lose some friends that I thought was funny, and maybe other people thought was funny, but the person that it was directed at, they didn't find it funny. And we should be talking more about Jesus rather than, and that's a fulfillment of the lust. What is the lust of my flesh want? I want to make you laugh. I want to make everybody who's around laugh. I like to have fun. But when it's at the expense of somebody else, it may not be funny to that person. One of my buddies that I drive with, he has a saying that he always uses, and I've been using it with my kids. Not everything's for everybody, Freeman, he says. Not everything's for everyone. And the jokes, the jesting, the foolishness of the tongue, it leads to bitterness of others towards you. And eventually, you're going to find yourself with no friends. There's a fine line with the comedy. The Bible talks about, in James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it talks about how dangerous our tongue can be. It's a very small thing, but it can create huge problems. And I don't think there's a person sitting here today that can say, oh, I don't know what that's about. We've all said something somewhere along the line that started a firestorm, which is interesting. It talks about the tongue kindling a fire. The next thing I thought of, flee youthful lust. The Spirit wants us to flee youthful lust. A lot is talked about that. The Apostle Paul, James, they all deal a lot with fleeing the lust of the flesh, fleeing youthful lust. What does the devil want us to, what is he drawing us to? Pornography. Things that we see with our eyes. Guys, this world is getting worse and worse with this in-your-face drawing of your eyes and your heart towards things you shouldn't be seeing. Yeah. Things I shouldn't be seeing. And what happens there? How about these? You see these pop-ups that come up while you're just... These stupid phones. It used to be you had to intentionally go into the adult bookstore to be able to get something. There were a lot of decisions you had to make before you got into the store and actually purchased whatever you were going to look at. Now, it's right here. And it pops up. It pops up right on your phone. Some celebrity that you know was shot on the beach in her bikini. Oh, what is that? You click on that. And the next thing you know, it leads you into things. Gets worse and worse. It's a wormhole. Like a wormhole of filth. It just keeps getting worse and worse. Until eventually, you can't even open your Bible. You can't even. I've been there. I didn't even want to open the Bible because I felt so dirty. And I've said this to my son when we've talked about some of these issues. I've said, you know what, when you've just gotten done reading your Bible, it's difficult to take that phone out and start looking at stuff that you shouldn't. Because that's where we need to be. I want to be there. Even though it's at our fingertips today, though, it was still a problem back when it was written here. It was a big problem. It's mentioned all throughout Scripture. And it eventually leads to fornication, adultery, and it can ruin your family. It can ruin your relationship between you and your wife, you and your husband. It was a problem then. It still is a problem today. Here's one that we all can agree on because of the fact that we're all sitting here today. The Holy Spirit is drawing us to solid preaching of the Word. Good Bible teaching. What's the devil drawing us to? Teachers having itching ears. The feel-good gospel, things that you want to hear. How about this one? I've heard this a lot. The Lord wants what's best for you. The Lord has in mind what's best for you. Yes, he does. But it may not be $1 million. How about this one? It might be cancer for 10 years because he knows that it's what drew the Spirit of God out of you that other people could see. That maybe didn't happen before. But they're not going to teach you that, huh? But you're going to get that sound preaching in a good church. Teachers having itching ears, stay away from them. This is the last one that I wrote down here. I'm not going to do like Pastor does and say this is my last point. There's two lions talked about in Scripture. There's the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the one I want. And there's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Turn over to 1 Peter 5:8 real quick. We're not too far. No, we are. We're in Kings. 1 Peter 5:8. You know this verse. I know you know this verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's seeking you. He's trying to get you. Not because he wants to have a relationship with you or because he wants to be your friend. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. And he will. He'll even, you say, well, yeah, but I'm saved. I can't be destroyed. Well, he can destroy your testimony. He can devour you up where you can't even speak to your friends at work because they know. I'm telling you this because I've been there. I've had friends that I couldn't even talk to about the Lord because my testimony was shot because of the things I'd said and done with them in weeks prior, years prior. And we ought not to be there. He'll destroy us. But the good lion is in Revelation chapter 5. Go to Revelation chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 5. Revelation chapter 5. This talks about the lion of Judah. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Boy, isn't that the gospel right there? That's the gospel. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, essentially innumerable, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. The lion is also a lamb. He'll fight for Israel, but he also wants to lead Israel. He's also meek and mild. I read all those verses because I enjoy reading about how things end. I enjoy thinking about The devil's not going to be a problem for us forever. And worthy is he to open the book, and it ends. Satan's been fighting for the believer since the beginning, since the Garden of Eden. He's been fighting for Adam and Eve right at the beginning. And because Adam sinned, they fell because of lust, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All they had to do was leave one tree alone, and they couldn't do it. They wanted that one. Well, it wasn't the Spirit. It wasn't God drawing them to that tree. He was telling them, don't. It was Satan. And because of that, death passed upon all men. But James chapter 4, verses 8, this is where we started off. James chapter 4 again, the 8th verse. This is one of my favorite verses. I can't say I have a favorite verse in the Bible. It's kind of like a favorite song. There's just too many of them. James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." This is the last comparison. We kind of already touched on it. The Lord is drawing you to himself. Jesus is drawing you. Why? Because he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to love him, and he wants to love you back. He'll love you even if you don't love him. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. That's how you avoid living on this side. That's how we avoid these lusts of the flesh. It's always going to be there. It's going to be there until the day you die. You've got imperfect flesh, and you've got a perfect spirit living inside you. And both of them are warring against each other, like we've compared a few things here this morning. But where we need to live, where you need to live, where I need to live every day, is draw nigh to God. How do you do that? Well, you get alone with him. You get alone. You go to the quiet part of the park instead of down where all the fanfare is. You can't hear that still small voice when the rides are going and the music is playing and the crowds are drawing you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for these thoughts. Lord, we want to love you better. Well, at least I hope we do. I know I do. And Lord, you know, there have been times when I was running. And you always, with that still small voice, was calling me, come back to you. Lord, I pray that every day we would try to take steps even closer to you, try to draw closer to you every day so that we can love you better. Because isn't it the very least we could possibly do when you sent your own son to die for our sins? Lord, we love you and we're thankful for this time. We're thankful for those that came out this morning. And we just pray that you bless the rest of the services today and all that is said and done. Pray that you be with our pastor. Give them safety wherever they are. Help them to have a good day visiting their church and visiting family. And we'll thank you for this now and we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.